Welcome to this episode of Money Matters TV. My name is Kelly Stewart, and I'm the founder of The Positive Business, where I help business leaders break through the burden of doing business as usual. And today, I'm here with our co-host, Patty Tawdros. Patty is the founder of Studio X. They are a women-owned and international global design firm in here in Philadelphia area. Mm-hmm. And very happy to have you on the show today, Patty. It's always nice to be with you.
Thank you.
So, Patty, we talked a little bit before the show about the future, right? Mm-hmm. People think about the future a lot, what's going on in the world today, what's going on in the world tomorrow. So I wanted to talk a little bit about that in terms of marketing. You have such expertise in what you do, and it's a big umbrella these days. There's a lot going on in marketing. It certainly has changed a lot over the last 30 years, which made me think too, we just celebrated the 30th birthday of the World Wide Web. So in thinking of how that has changed marketing and opened up the field of digital marketing, I was wondering if you might have some thoughts to share about where all of that's going.
Sure.
Maybe in the next 30 years.
Wow, 30 years is a long way out. I will tell you, I would like take a step back and look at when I speak to clients that have not been in the, not keeping up. People don't want to make an investment. They think, Right. Oh, I spent money one time. I built my website. I made my logo. I made a brochure. And, you know, they're like, I'm done. Let's move on. They don't want to keep up and they don't want to get involved in the conversation. So I always tell people, you're being talked about on social media, your business. So you can either pretend it's not happening and hope that what's said about you is okay, or you can get involved in the conversation and lead the conversation.
That's so important.
Right? Mm-hmm. So I find either clients are never been in business, so if it's a new business, particularly, I don't mean that person running the company, but if it's a new company, they're really open to what to do because they haven't made any investments yet and they don't feel like they've been burned yet. So I think the thing for me that I say is that you need to keep an open mind, whether you've already spent money or you're just looking towards the future. You need to make sure your brand is accurately presented online. You need to take advantage of the social platforms where your customers are. So it's, if you're like a, you know, a traditional company, maybe your target demographic is 40 and up, you're not gonna be, I wanna say, you're not gonna be on Snapchat, but some moms are on Snapchat. So if you were selling diapers, you might wanna be on Snapchat where you're gonna find young millennials and young, you know, younger moms.
Right.
So it's know where your demographic is, keep up with what those platforms are and who they're for, and make the most use of them.
Absolutely, and I think it would be challenging. And when we talk about how marketing used to be, you know, it was more static. And I think now it's this always on kind of environment in which we all live and trying to reach people all the time. It used to be, you know, your marketing could start at 8 o'clock in the morning when someone opened up the newspaper and then it was over.
Yeah, you look at our presidents tweeting at 3 a.m.
Exactly.
Right? It never ends.
It never ends. Do you find that to be a challenge for companies in trying, should they be everywhere all the time, or is it more important that they focus what they're doing? You kind of alluded to that with Snapchat. But
yeah, what's really interesting is I have a client say to me, oh, I want to add a chat bot to my website, you know, one that'll pop up and ask you if you need help. And I said, oh, really? That's fantastic. Who's going to monitor that?
Exactly.
You barely can get me the content I'm asking you for this one little thing, and you're going to have a 24/7.
Right.
Yeah. So it's, yeah, beware of how much time you really have to invest or money you have to give somebody, and then be fully present in, you know, just like in life, be fully present when you're there, but
in what you're doing,
be fully present in the platforms you're saying you're involved in. So if you're on Twitter and you're on LinkedIn and you don't have time for any others, then don't put them on your website. Don't pretend that you're involved. But I always say, grab the name that's your business.
Right.
We talked about how we hoard domain
big believers,
names.
Yes.
Right? But grab the ones that are relevant to your business and sit on them. You don't have to use them.
Right. You don't have to use them right away.
Right.
So chatbots, talk to me about them, because I've had a secret desire for the last 3 years to be a hologram. You know, I want to be able to pop up on someone's computer when they're there as part of my marketing and say, hi, welcome. You
and know, like and what, land in their living room somewhere?
Exactly, whatever that looks like. I'm just deliriously excited by the idea
Jetsons.
Of being a hologram. Exactly.
Yeah.
Princess Leia.
Yeah.
And so what does that, the closest I had seen up to about a year ago with virtual reality was starting to make a little bit more of this possible, were chatbots. And when I was talking about them a couple of years ago, people were like, what's a chatbot? And so my test is always explain it to my dad. And you know, but how do you even approach that idea with a client who really wouldn't be familiar with what that technology is and how they use it?
So I would approach it with some of our customers that are highly transactional, and mm-hmm. I would say to them, you have a lot of customer service that's right. happening, and I will tell you, running people's social media platforms, that we do a lot of customer service through their platforms.
Okay.
For whether it's a restaurant or a manufacturing company. Mm-hmm. My product malfunctioned, what time's the restaurant open? Can I make a reservation? How do I return something?
Right.
People go to social media, which is so frustrating because I'm a little bit older than probably mm-hmm. those people. They could just call. Why don't
right.
they pick up the phone and call? But they
right.
don't.
And
they treat
call,
social
right?
media as the help desk. Mm-hmm. So they can use the chat bot as
right.
a way to do customer service.
Oh, okay, right.
But
great
then
idea.
They should not be doing it with people that don't know their products, don't know their, mm-hmm. you know, in social media.
So
we're
some
not
of like
there.
The more like repetitive type questions a chat bot would be best for?
Well, there's two ways. There's one that you man, and there's one that's manned by a third party company, right? So mm-hmm. third party company isn't going to mm-hmm. answer. Here's where the product information is on the website.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's your chatbot and it's on your restaurant website, then you're going to be able to say, sure,
right.
I'd love to make a reservation for you and actually provide value.
Oh, I love that idea.
Instead of double layers of mm-hmm. work, right? Now mm-hmm. they just talk to that person and then you have to make them talk to somebody else.
Right.
It's
very
like
a,
it takes away usability.
Right. Do you think the hologram technology might come along soon?
I bet it is.
I hope so.
I can see you get a wig with a make some Princess Leia buns.
Absolutely, absolutely.
You know, I was in the supermarket. Which one was I in? Giant in King of Prussia. They have a robot that goes around, and I was with my brother, and we asked them, "What's with the robot? It's
right.
not. What's it doing?" And they said, "It's looking for spills on the floor." And I said, "And it alerts them." And I said, "Oh, well, then does it clean it up?" And they said, "No."
Really? I would think that would be part of the service,
yeah.
right?
And it's taller than me, so it's like 5'8", and it's going around maybe 6 feet tall.
Right.
Just
wow.
Really?
Okay,
have
that's
you seen
a new one
yet?
On me. No, I have
yeah.
not seen that
There's
one
There's a robot
yet.
In the Giant.
Looking for spills.
Yeah, looking for spills.
Things are changing.
Right.
Things are definitely changing, and that was part of, I think, with the chatbot conversation, we still have wonderfully human aspects that you would not want to lose. And I think that was a great example that you gave of, you know, when you can have your own chatbot and put your own flavor. And I know people call them soft skills. I just call them human skills.
Mm-hmm.
But because I think they're essential to success. And then you can still create that rapport that you might not necessarily get.
You know, the last time we were together, we were with Adam from
yes.
Dream It.
Mm-hmm.
And he had said that they had the medical chat,
yes.
not chatbots, but the
right.
robots,
well, yeah. mm-hmm.
which is, what was it, basically a head,
mm-hmm.
and it goes around your house and wants to ask you if
right.
you took your medication.
Exactly.
But it doesn't dispense medication, which would be really amazing.
Right. Be very helpful.
Chase your like
yeah.
parent around and bumps them in the leg. And its head pop. Maybe it would be great if its tongue came out.
That's
and
right. That's right.
Take the pills
and
out.
And then before long, there would be advertising wrapped around it.
Oh, God,
right?
yeah.
So, yeah.
yeah.
Some futuristic marketing ideas, one of which, and I pass it on my way into Philadelphia, is the Carvana vending machine. I thought it was part of the gimmick of their ad until I actually drove by it. And at that very moment, I did feel like Jane Jetson. It was just unbelievable to me to see this vending machine of
yeah,
cars.
Yeah, right, see it off 95. I'm
right
so
off of 95.
Curious about that. So what do?
There.
You go test,
you
test drive somewhere
You pick out what
else?
You want online, and
but
these are
you know
for people
that
for that. It's not as important to them. It's getting them maybe from A to B. Maybe
yeah.
they already know they've had experience with the car, and that's the one that they want to drive. I love to drive, so I want to test drive everything that's
know,
out there.
I don't get that.
But when I saw that, I thought, well, that's going to actually free up some time on your Saturday.
But don't you want that giant coin? Like, how do you get that
yeah.
giant coin, and then you drop it in, and your car comes? I would be worth that experience.
Maybe we should buy a car on Carvana just to see what that's like. We'll do the user experience. That's your thing.
Yeah,
so, yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
Let's go over there.
Well, I'll tell you what, we have a question in
okay.
today from Nancy Walker in Ardmore. And Nancy wants to know, what are some quality website designs that you should have in any good website construction? And maybe this speaks to some of the trends
yeah.
in website design.
So I think I'll just give you a few things. One is that your website needs to be mobile friendly.
Mm.
It's not that would be great.
Right.
It's
not
a
nice
requirement
to have.
By Google. So if you're not mobile friendly, your website will not come up in searches. If somebody searches for you, your competitors will come up first.
Mm.
You need to have security certificate in your website that, you know, when the little lock comes up,
right.
like HTTPS.
Mm-hmm.
That's another one where you have to have it. It's not an option. Your website is now marked not secure.
Okay.
So if somebody's using the Google browser to mm-hmm. look at your stuff, then mm-hmm. Chrome, then that's what they're going to see, and they're not going to trust you.
Right.
So I would say those are two have-to-haves that people need to get on. Mm-hmm. And I'm not kidding. Like, J.Crew only made their website mobile-friendly maybe like a year ago.
Wow, really?
Restoration Hardware's website is not totally mobile-friendly yet. So
okay.
people are not rushing into it
those,
because it's a lot mm-hmm. of work to do mm-hmm. it when you have such a complex solution. So I would say that's it. Mm-hmm. Focus on those two things first. Make sure it's really usable. The less clicks it takes for someone to get to what they need, the better.
Awesome. Are there some technology solutions that might help people with that who maybe don't know how to do those things?
They can call. I would say they should just mm-hmm. call and talk to somebody, because they,
right.
if they built their website in like WordPress or Squarespace or mm-hmm. Wix, they might be able to find some articles on the website for how to do it. But mm-hmm. sometimes it's just easier to call somebody and ask them to do it for them and
human touch.
Be expert at what you're expert at and let someone else worry about the technology.
That's awesome. Thank you.
Yeah.
Great answer. And if you'd like to submit your question, here's how.
You can have your questions answered on Money Matters. Please go to our website, money-matterstv.com. On our homepage, click on the banner on the right that says, Send Us Your Questions. While you're on our website, you can find information about our host and guests, as well as show notes and links about this show and past shows. Money Matters is also available as a podcast on iTunes and Stitcher, so you can listen to Money Matters while you're on the go. That website address, again, is money, M-O-N-E-Y, dash matters, M-A-T-T-E-R-S, TV.com.
Welcome back. Very excited today to have our guest, and Patty and I were just speaking about the future, and he's working on a project that kind of feels like the future is here today. And so we welcome George Kearns, chairman of MCC Worldwide. Welcome to the show, George.
Thank you very much.
It's nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you as well.
So tell our viewers, our podcast listeners, tell us about the project that you're working on.
Well, I guess the best way to do that is start at the beginning.
Absolutely.
Dubai had spectacular growth, and that growth was due to two economic free zones. One called the DMCC,
okay.
and the other the DIFC. DMCC stands for the Dubai Multi-Commodity Center,
mm-hmm.
and DIFC is the Dubai International Financial Center.
Okay.
And combined, they have over 20,000 member companies from around the world today.
Hmm.
And as a location, it provided access for the multinationals out of Europe and the United States to do business in not only just the Middle East, but the near Far East, Pakistan, mm-hmm. India, Myanmar,
mm-hmm.
and Africa, so that people can do business with one set of guidelines, in this case, British law.
Okay.
On in a tax-free, free trade zone with free convertibility of currencies.
Hmm.
So it
That's what free zone is. Yeah. Everything's basically free there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and under European law, mm-hmm. Which we're compliant with in Curacao, there was a 2% profits tax,
mm-hmm.
but they're revising those laws right now,
cool.
and I believe it'll end up at zero. However, it takes the political risk and the financial risk out of doing business
mm-hmm.
with a country that might have some turmoil,
right.
but there are good companies there. That's sort of it in a nutshell.
That's it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you're doing one in Curacao?
Yes. The Dutch island of Curacao, when I went looking in the Western Hemisphere for a location, it was Spanish for 100 years before it was Dutch, and it's been Dutch for over 500 years. It was the financial center and the traveling center of the Caribbean in the very early days when everybody, the Europeans, came to the New World for precious metals and stones and so on. And in anticipation of World War II, from a financial standpoint, the Dutch set Curacao up as a trust sector, and it moved everything of value to Curacao. So today, the largest fund administrator in the world is called CITCO. It's CITCO. It stands for Curacao Investment Trust Company. Oh. Today it's headquartered in Switzerland, but it started in Curacao. As a consequence, multinational banks are there. They have a refinery there that refines Venezuelan crude. So it was a financial business hub.
So it's not just a tourist Caribbean vacation destination.
No, it has that too. The cruise ships come in. It has perfect weather, the same every day.
Right.
83, 84 degrees during the day, 78 at night. The trade winds, and it's arid.
Right.
So it's actually pretty wonderful.
What size companies, like would small and mid-size companies, you mentioned the refinery, you know, what is typically appealing to what types of companies? To
all sizes. I mean, in Dubai, if you take 22 of the top 25 banks in the world, they're there. They supported, and what made it really significantly different is they supported various business verticals.
Okay.
Like gold and precious metals, diamonds and precious stones, tea. In our hemisphere, coffee and cocoa, steel, oil, and all whatever else you can think of. But today, if you, for the ladies, Louis Vuitton. If you buy it in the store in Africa, it probably came through Dubai. Certainly Harley Davidson. The deals were closed in Dubai under British law. And no delays in payments because the banks are there. So regardless of where the two companies are from, when the transaction closes, it closes that day.
So you're doing it in Curacao. Do you have partners that you're doing it with?
Well, we have companies that are our partners or our affiliates, but internally, we have a number of significant people. Altman Siemens of IFC World Bank and the Siemens family in Germany joined me as my vice chairman last September a year ago. And by the time this airs, it will be out that George Sidarkis, the founder of ADIA, the Abu Dhabi Investment Authority, has joined our board, which is the largest sovereign fund in the world.
So you're going to do an economic one? I know in Dubai you said there's two.
Well,
so what will be in Curacao?
In Dubai, I believe if they had it to do over again, instead of having the two zones, they would have combined them. Because one supports the other. So when I looked at doing one for this hemisphere, I combined them.
How big is it?
Well, the government down there refers to us as Airport City. I would suspect, at least in the planning stages, we'll build out at around 3 million feet, which is virtually a city.
Yeah.
The government adopted population growth plan of 85,000, which is the number that happened to move to Dubai and go to work in Dubai every day from other parts of the world.
And how many people are in Curacao now that are natives to there?
150,000.
Well, so that's like 50% increase of their population.
Yeah.
So is the government in favor of this?
They're very much
you?
So, yeah.
Right.
They always had a financial sector there. And so this is going to revitalize that.
Right.
And some of the rules, regulations, laws, whatever, that were already there were beneficial to us.
Right.
Apart from the fact that it's below the hurricane belt, so we don't have hurricanes. With UTS, the Dutch telephone company, they created ultimately what today is called BlueNap Americas, which is a tier four, one of 13 in the world strategic NAP or network access points for telecommunications. Everybody on the island speaks at least four languages and many five. Dutch, English, Spanish, their local language, Papamento, and Portuguese.
Wow, that's incredible. How does this impact this type of growth, the natural resources in the area? When is that a concern for the government?
No, because they had planned to have growth and had approved it. So they're looking forward. It's an economic development initiative for the country of Curacao. World Bank, IFC, looks at it not just as that economic development initiative for Curacao, but really one for all of Central and South America to take the friction out of doing business in those countries.
How many jobs do you think it will create? And I don't mean the companies that move into that free zone, but people building and construction.
Building and construction, some thousands.
That's probably sustainable jobs, I would think.
Oh, yeah. Ultimately, I mean, we should have in permanent employment that we develop down there probably more than 15 or 20,000.
So Kelly sent me a link to your video on your website, which is really fascinating. And I got really excited by the cooling system from the deep water
Blue
from the
rise.
Ocean. Can you tell us about some of the green initiatives? And then I saw the algae park or farm or whatever you want to call it.
Well, the algae farm is not myself. We're the business end of things.
Oh.
But
and a space shuttle. And a space shuttle.
That's well, if you didn't mention it, I would.
The deep seawater cooling is a great thing. It's very effective. It's green. Not only for our part of the airport, when we'll use that chilled water for our coolers. And but it's also needed at the data center, Blue Nav. And the airport is going through an expansion now in the terminal buildings. I mean, ultimately, they can take advantage of that. And then the other development that'll come along in the area, they'll take advantage of that.
And then you're going to add other major airlines, I'm sure. I only recognize JetBlue as a
American.
They already fly there?
Oh, yeah, two flights a day from Miami alone.
KLM.
They're direct flights from Europe once a day. There was a flight out. There's a flight out of Holland. There was a flight out of Germany that I think a subsidiary of Lufthansa is going to take over again. And then we'll add more. But we have the longest runway in Central and South America, because the United States Air Force forward operating location is at the airport.
Oh, so very safe.
In 2010, when Curacao got its independence, they became a full member of the Kingdom of the Netherlands. So legally, you might as well be in Holland. And it's protected by NATO. The U.S. Air Force is there. It's very safe.
So it really will open up an area then to companies that hasn't really been available to them.
No, and many of the same companies that are members in Dubai of either one, DIFC or DMCC, they would join us as simply another way to get into another part of the world.
Right.
We're Central and South America. Dubai is Middle East, near Far East and Africa.
What does it mean to join? Can you tell our viewers like what it looks like a company wants to move there?
When a company enters into a free zone, they in essence join the free zone. You actually make a commitment, if you will, to the country. You start a company there, you open bank accounts, you're vetted in banking terms, know your client. KYC. So all those things go on, and you pay a yearly recurring membership fee to be a member of the free zone.
And how is that determined? Is it a percentage of revenue?
No, it's in Dubai it was determined by the number of people. And we're somewhat similar.
So it'll be less expensive to, it's an annual fee, I think you said,
yes.
Right? So it'll be less expensive to pay that than to pay the taxes to have your company
somewhere
else.
It's not just the taxes. It's the support closing rooms, vaulting services, even though we only provide the areas for the vaults, major vaulting companies and transportation companies would do provide
that
service.
They're all available at that same location.
Yes.
So I could be coming in for my business, I could be coming in for a vacation, and coming in essentially to the same area, but everything is there.
Yeah. And that's what made Dubai special, as apart from if you compared it to, say, Singapore or something. Right. Singapore, they're not all in the same area.
Right.
And they don't have organized closing rooms where you go in, you close your transaction, the transportation company's across the hall.
Right.
And then they provide not notary services, but like an acknowledgement. Because most of these people are from different countries. Did you have a successful closing this day?
Right.
And they can acknowledge that, in fact, you did.
Okay, and then what
about the
community? The Dutch Caribbean Securities Exchange? They're part of it?
Well, they've been very supportive, and we've been working with them. Let's say you're a bank in Brazil. How do you buy Apple stock, which is sold on the American markets? There's got to be an interconnecting link. Okay, that involves more than just technology. It also involves so that the systems can talk to each other, but you have to have that pathway for the systems to talk to each other, and that's why BlueNAP Americas.
So we are unfortunately running out of time, because we could keep talking to you, I believe, for the rest of the afternoon. And I would say, it feels like, in many ways, a lot of this project is also, in addition to the wonderful things it's already helping to accomplish that you're talking about, it's making the world that little bit smaller, but by smaller, I mean more connected. Would that sound fair?
Yes.
A fair assessment?
Yeah, and one of the things that MCC Worldwide is ultimately going to be doing is connecting information from existing free zones that sign up under our brand.
Oh, okay.
And sharing that membership information so that,
right,
say you want to find a manufacturer in a free zone in Shannon, Ireland.
Right.
That could conceivably come through us.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Happy to hear about it. Thank you very much for being with us today.
Oh, thank you very much.
That. And our next guest on the next episode of Money Matters TV will be TJ Haas, and he's the Managing Director of Business Development at Eureka Equity Partners. Hope you'll tune in then. Thank you for being with us today. And as always, be well and expect great things from everything you do.